Welcome to the British History Podcast. If you love British history, then you are definitely in the right place. My name is Philippa, and I will be taking you through British history, the people, the events, the intrigue. Some of the stories you may think you know, but you don't know them in the way I tell them. And then hopefully, I will also be able to introduce you to something new too. Now, this podcast is free, and it always will be. But if you would like more History Lover benefits, then please consider coming and joining me over on Patreon at patreon.com/British History. But for now, let's get into today's episode. Hello everyone, how are you? This is a bit different. I am doing my live from Hampton Court Palace, and I thought, well, because I've had this planned and I wasn't going to miss out on seeing you all for Thursday Tea Time Live, but we're going to do it on location. So let me know. I'm going to have a little walk around, and while I chat to you about our normal stuff, but feel free to ask me any questions about where I am and anything you can see. I might be able to answer a few questions about the actual palace, you never know. I've been here enough times. Still can't get round the palace in one day. There's no way you can get round this palace in one day. Let me just show you where I am at the moment. This is Base Court. So this is the first court you come into as you enter the palace. Now, any of you who've been here before, you might notice what's missing is the replica of the wine fountain, which was at the Field of Cloth of Gold. That is in the next court. I don't know where at the moment. You can see there, that's the Great Hall. Poking up over there, looks a bit like a chapel. It's the Great Hall. And the famous Tudor chimneys, showing off Wolsey's, later Henry's wealth. So you've got chimneys, you've got fires. If you've got fires, that means you can afford to light them. And you only need this many fires if you have lots of visitors and you look after them. So that's fairly cool. I know I'm a bit late today. That's because I couldn't manage to do our normal time of 1 o'clock. So thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining me on Catch Up as well. If you're watching this on YouTube or IGTV, or indeed listening on the podcast. So I am walking around Hampton Court Palace while we do this today, because it's, I mean, what a backdrop, huh? This is my office for today, not bad, hey? It is 30 degrees. This is why I'm standing in the shade. I will have to venture out into the sunshine in a moment. So let me tell you about what I've been doing. So as well as Hampton Court Palace, I have been to the British Museum yesterday to see the Thomas Becket exhibition. Thomas Becket, St. Thomas Becket, who was murdered at Canterbury. He's the one who, the king at the time, Henry II, the one who gave the speech, "Will no one rid me of this troublesome knave," do they call him? And so four of his knights decided to take it upon themselves to go and murder Thomas Becket. And when I first heard that story, I thought, it's a bit hot-headed. No, they were in France at the time, so they actually had come back. They saw Thomas. He went back to his apartments, as far as I remember. Well, apartments. I'm talking saying apartments because that's what they call me at Hampton Court. Basically prepared for death, went back to the cathedral and they followed him in there. But anyway, that exhibition is on at the British Museum. I shared a photo of it, one of the photos from there yesterday, which was a book of saints, which people would have had in Tudor times, prior to that and since. And it's got, in fact there was two, but the one I shared was a book, and so it's got all the saints' stories in there, and St. Thomas's story and the illustration that goes with it is scratched out in black with black ink. And that's basically because in the time of Henry VIII, so the dude who took over this place and made it famous. Hi, Tom. Thank you for joining. Hi, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. So I'm a bit late today. It's because I'm on location and it's a bit difficult to time it to the usual time. So in the reign of Henry VIII, we have the dissolution of the monasteries, obviously, and we have significantly Henry putting himself at the head of the church in England and removing the Pope from that connection to God. So God has anointed Henry, so therefore Henry doesn't need an intermediary, and he is now the voice of God effectively on earth. And one of the saints, worshipping saints, relics, all that was said to be now superstition and outlawed. And Becket, remember, had stood up to the king. So the reason Thomas Becket had been murdered, had been such a troublesome Archbishop of Canterbury for Henry II, was because he challenged, this plane's going overhead, that's the only thing that spoils it here. Well, it doesn't spoil it, but the reason he was murdered was because he wanted to maintain church independence from the state. And what Henry II had wanted to do is basically appoint one of his great friends, Thomas, to being Archbishop of Canterbury, and he wanted to appoint him as Chancellor of the Exchequer, or whatever the equivalent was, if that's not the right title. And he didn't take that. So he wanted him to have this obviously position of Archbishop and a secular position, and then be able to bring those together, and basically Henry would have power over everything, including the church, with the help of his mate Thomas. But when Thomas Becket became Archbishop of Canterbury, he didn't, he wouldn't take on the secular role, and he maintained, he was vehemently defensive of the independence of the church. So when Henry VIII decides that he is head of the church, 250-ish, maybe more years later, Thomas Becket, as someone who had stood up against the crown, was branded traitorous. He was to be known now as just Bishop Becket, and so any references to him in books of saints were to be erased. So hence why I said the picture that I shared yesterday, if you go back on my Instagram and have a look, is one of these books of saints with Thomas Becket's story crossed out. Hi everyone, thank you for joining me. So effectively trying to erase him, so his name wasn't supposed to be used, certainly not venerated, and his story removed from books. Henry himself, by the way, had been a big fan of St. Thomas, but obviously that all changed when he decided to break from Rome. So my visits yesterday to the British Museum, the Thomas Becket exhibition, and my visit to Hampton Court Palace today are linked. So there you go, different time periods, but still, this is how history works. It's not, we parcel it up, but it's not parceled up, is it? Everything has an impact on what comes next. Hi everyone, welcome, thank you for joining me. Let me know where you're joining me from. So I'm going to carry on walking around Hampton Court while I chat to you. For the Thomas Becket exhibition yesterday and for my visit today, I will be showing more photos. Patrons, anyone who's a member of my Patreon, which you can be if you go to patreon.com/British History, you will see a lot more photos. I'm going to do a lot more behind the scenes stuff now that I'm getting out and about, which I'm very excited to be doing. It's so hot. It's lovely. Let me show you some stuff while I go around. Oops, let's try and turn the camera around. So I'm going to go through. This is, it's now known as the Anne Boleyn Gate, but I don't know when. I imagine that happened. Old Manchester, Phil. Good weather there. Good. Lorry. Goochland County, Virginia. Oh yeah, well, Virginia, named after Elizabeth I. So yeah, loads of good history there. Awesome. So yeah, we're going to go through the Anne Boleyn Gate. I imagine, without knowing the actual answer, that this was probably renamed in Victorian times. Oh no, that was that one. Sorry, I'm totally lying. That was that one. I can't show you the ceiling of that one, but I'll show you the ceiling of this one. And you can start to pick out some of the badges. So obviously you've got a rose in the middle, you've got fleur-de-lis for France, because they always fashion themselves as King of France as well. Portcullis, both at Portcullis. You've got a... what have we got there? An H and an A. Thought they were all supposed to have gone, evidently not. You've got Anne's falcon there. I can't quite see the other H and an A. So there you go. Once we get through here, I'll turn around and show you. Named after William Gooch. Cool, I did not know that. So here is the wine fountain that's normally in Base Court. I don't know why it's moved here, but it is. Zoom back out. So that is the Great Hall, that's the outside of the Great Hall. And then if you heard of Henry's astronomical clock, apparently it's never worked properly, and basically it goes out of sync because of the understanding of how the planets moved at the time wasn't quite right. But you've got their 24-hour clock, you've got the seasons, you've got the moon cycle, or phase of the moon, you've got where the sun is in the, can you see the zodiac signs? Can't get much closer, I think, without it going blurred. It shows where the sun is and the signs of the zodiac. You've got the months. And it's very pretty. And then down below that, if I keep this steady, that is the coat of arms of Foot Wolsey, who was responsible for building this in the beginning. Confiscated by Henry on Wolsey's downfall, as was everything that once belonged to Wolsey, including York Place in London, near to Westminster Palace, which he and Anne Boleyn turned into Whitehall Palace, which is why we have the Whitehall name for that area now. The only thing that exists of that is Banqueting House and some bits that you can't see that's inside the Ministry of Defence, and a cellar, which is now underneath. Is it the Ministry of Defence as well? It got, had to get moved because of the foundations, where they wanted to put the foundations. But anyway, that's not here. Now, many of you might know that, let you see me again. Many of you might know that Hampton Court is a palace of two halves, that's what I like to say, because you've got the Tudor Palace and you've got the Baroque Palace. Now, actually, what's behind me looks very Tudorish, but was actually built under George the, says it there, second. In fact, there's a date, that's very helpful, 1732. But if you look behind me, let me see, the sun's in totally the wrong direction for me to show you this, really. I mean, I've got other places I can show you if I stand here. Right, so behind me now, you can see Tudor, where am I? Tudor, Baroque, Tudor, chimneys up there, Baroque. It's all a mix, it's all a juxtaposition of architectural styles. Because the Tudor Palace was in progress of being knocked down and replaced by Baroque Palace for William and Mary, joint monarchs. Ooh, do you want to see? That's that bell. What time are we on? 2 o'clock. There you go, 2 o'clock. Boom. So for William and Mary, and then Anne, Queen Anne, who was the last Stuart monarch, she lived here as well, used it as a palace, and she remodelled the Chapel Royal as well. So it's the same place. The Chapel Royal is still in the same place as it was when Henry was here, but it's not. I don't know how much it looks like it did for Henry. So we'll move on. So this was Clock Court, and now you'll see it change. Right, it's going to go dark actually. And it gets lovely and cool. Look, my glasses are wedged into my nose. Very attractive. Now look at the difference in style now. Now actually, at the top of these stairs, if you go to the left, you end up in the privy closet above the Chapel Royal. But once you come out of that door, you're on the William and Mary side. Let me just see if I can tip my camera up without dropping my sunglasses off my head. Now, lots of people come here who are Tudor fans and they miss out the William and Mary part of the palace, but, and I have to say, it's difficult to do all of the palace in one day. It is really difficult to do all the palace in one day. But do try and make time for the William and Mary parts as well, because it is rather stunning. Okay, so let me tell you what's been going on this week. So I normally let you know where I've been, so I've told you anyway all about the Thomas Becket exhibition at the British Museum, where I went yesterday. Last weekend I was in Ludlow, and again, if anyone saw my Instagram, you'd have seen some photos. I don't think I've shared the ones from the top of St. Lawrence's Tower yet. So St. Lawrence's Church in Ludlow is where Arthur Tudor's heart is buried, because Arthur Tudor, eldest son of Henry VIII and Elizabeth of York, died at Ludlow Castle about 6 months into his marriage to Catherine of Aragon, the same Catherine of Aragon who married Henry VIII. They both got ill, gravely ill, but she survived, he died. It was 1503, I believe. Bodies were embalmed, and so obviously the heart, whatever, is removed. So they need to be buried, and his is buried in St. Lawrence's in Ludlow. So I went there, and I went up to the top of the tower, and from the tower at the top of, 201 steps, the lady told me, really tight stone staircase. Which was quite a challenge. Yeah, it was actually. I was a bit wobbly by the time I got back down. But from the top, I could see right back to the castle and beyond, because where the castle sits is on the border of Wales it's on the Welsh-English border, not like on the line of it, but you can see into the distance all the countryside. So I will share some of those photos, because I don't think I have, but like I say as well, if you're one of my patrons, you'll see a lot more from behind the scenes, and you can join me there at patreon.com/British History. So that was Ludlow. Now let me tell you about what's been going on at Clubhouse, because I know some of you join me there. And if you're not on there already, I think it's just basically opened up to everyone now. I'm not sure. They're making changes all the time. But if you do need an invite, if you follow the link on my bio, and then you'll find a link to join one of the clubs. I moderate two clubs, the Tudor History Club and the History and Culture Club. And we have regular rooms, Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays now, Fridays and Sundays. So Mondays and Fridays we have they were called our history half hours, but they're never half an hour anymore. They're always slightly longer. And Wednesdays is History After Dark, which is just a really, really fun room where we let rip a bit. And Thursdays is about British sovereigns and royals with Gail Hume. And Sundays is Travelling Tudor Britain, and that's with me, Sarah Morris and Deb Royal. So, what day are we today? So we lost, I can't remember what we did Friday. Sunday was the Mary Rose, which I had to miss that one. I was absolutely gutted, because we had Kester come and speak to us. And he was one of the original divers who dived down to the Mary Rose.
while she was still on the bed of the Solent. I'm really gutted to have missed it. If you caught that, that's brilliant. But we have these kind of fantastic rooms all the time. So if you're not on Clubhouse, please do think about joining. Someone said to me about it being whether you had to pay. You don't have to pay. It's free. But all the discussions we have on there are live. So it's not like this where I do it live and then it's recorded and you can see it afterwards. It's live and you're done. Once it's finished, it's finished. What do we do? So we did, so Monday, Kat Marchant is reading the past on YouTube. She and I were talking about John Dudley, and John Dudley was Duke of Northumberland. He is Guildford Dudley's father. He married Guildford Dudley to Jane Grey when Edward VI, he put Jane Grey in the succession. And anyway, Jane married John Dudley's son. And we discussed it. How much did we think it was John Dudley's plan for the succession, and how much was it Edward's device and plan for the succession? I think we came down on the side that it was Edward's. Edward did know what he wanted to do. And that the Duke of Northumberland, John Dudley, was implementing the plan to the best of his abilities and to his, you'd say advantage, but the alternative was regime change. Because if you think about it, Edward VI was a reformist, and he had gone hard down that route. He had taken the country hard down that route. The alternative to Edward naming Jane Seymour in his succession was that you reverted to Henry VIII's plan for succession, which made it Mary I. Mary I, staunch, ardent Catholic, wronged by so many people of the Reformed faith personally, that we were going to look at regime change. And so, you can look at it both ways. It's not just getting an advantage from the new succession, but it's avoiding something quite catastrophic as well, for yourself anyway, in terms of John Dudley. I'm going to turn this camera around for a little minute and show you what my view is, because I've just realised I'm looking at this lovely view and I'm not showing it with you. This is Fountain Court, because there's a statue in between or something, but there is a fountain there. Let's walk around while I talk to you about the rest of it. So that was Monday in Clubhouse, and then last night was History After Dark, which is always an absolute hoot. Hi, thank you everyone for joining. Welcome. And we talked about, we allowed people, and we had our own as well, to throw in a controversial opinion. I think we called it Let's Fight About It. And you could throw in a controversial opinion, and we discussed it. So we actually got quite modern as well. We started talking about should Charles become king, or should it skip a generation and go to William? But we talked about Richard III and the princes in the Tower. What else did we talk about? I can't remember. I had one that I wanted to throw in, which was Matilda, Queen Matilda. So Matilda was named in her father's succession. Was that Henry I? I'm forgetting now. But her cousin Stephen took the crown, and you had 19 years of civil war, 19 years, dubbed the Anarchy. And I'm reading a book on it at the moment, and Matilda in my mind is not coming off so well. She's not coming off so well as a person, as a personality, as somebody you would want to be ruling your country. She wasn't coming off particularly well to me. But anyway, so I think I will drop that one in a future room. Friday though, please do join us for that. We have got a lady called Jessie Tomsko, who has written a musical about Anne Boleyn. And Sarah Morris has interviewed her for her podcast, in the most recent one, I think. And she's created all the music
herself. She sings it. She plays the instruments. She's written all the music. She's written all the lyrics. It's really fabulous. So she is going to be joining us on Friday to talk about that. Blanching out behind me. And on Sunday, we are going to Salisbury. Virtually this time, not in reality. So we've got lots coming up. Lots has happened. Lots is coming up. If you need a link to Clubhouse, if you go to my bio and follow there. And if you have trouble with it, just DM me and I will see if I can get the link sent to you. Right, let's carry on. It's nice and busy today. I like seeing places. I don't like being in places that are rammed, obviously, but I like seeing people out and about now. It's refreshing. So next week, I will be out and about again for Thursday Tea Time Live. I will try to be as close to 1 o'clock as possible, so as not to confuse the schedule. But from another historic location, which I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to be until the time, because I like surprises. You like surprises? I like surprises. What else did I have to tell you? Don't know. So let me walk you out to the gardens. Oh, actually, oh, yes, I might need my ticket. I'm going to walk you out to the Privy Gardens and then we'll say goodbye. So if you've got any questions about where I am, what I'm doing, or anything I've talked about, let me know, because otherwise I'll just jabber about what I want to talk about. Right, I'm going to turn this around a little minute. Oh, I know what I need to tell you about. Why I'm here. So I'm here for the Golden Glory exhibition. Now, the Golden Glory exhibition is about the Field of Cloth of Gold, which had its 500th anniversary last year, and there should have been a big exhibition. I think they were going to have jousting, and of course COVID put paid to that. So they have not put their energies to waste, and they have put on the exhibition in a smaller form in what used to be known as the Henry VIII's apartments, I think it was. Sorry, but I'm sick of seeing people in masks outside. It's starting to do my head in. Right, let me show you this. Now my screen has gone dark because it's so bright out here. But I have got to show you this. So yeah, so the Golden Glory exhibition is on here. I think it's on until the 22nd of August. So it's on until the 22nd of August. So if you wanted to see it, you need to book your tickets and get here if you can. So can you see my screen's gone so dark. I'm trying to see it. If you can see above, those are, the windows, but it says in Latin, William and Mary. And again, in the background then, you can see the Tudor chimneys. So Palace of Two Halves, it most definitely is. And thank goodness, you know, I mean, I can see why they wanted to do it. You know, we're quite sentimental for our past now, thankfully, and we look to preserve it. But it was old-fashioned and drafty and not fit for purpose. And so it was to be replaced. But what we have, as a result of the premature death of Mary, and then a few years later, her husband William, what we have is both Tudor and Baroque. Which I think is fabulous. So the Golden Glory exhibition, so like I say, is about the Field of Cloth of Gold. And it's got the painting which depicts the fields across the gold. It's got a hat which was purportedly, is that the right word? Once belonged to Cardinal Wolsey, so his red hat. I've never heard of it before, so I'm quite surprised. There's also some paintings I'd not seen before on loan from Her Majesty. So that's nice. And so again, I'll share some photographs. I don't want to jump in the fountain. So I can't see my screen really at all now. It's so dark. Anyone else's iPhone does that as soon as it gets bright. It does this really helpful thing of going dark on you. So yeah, I'll share some photos of the Golden Glory exhibition. I'll share some more photographs of Hampton Court. In my Patreon, I will share a lot more. So if you want to join me there, patreon.com/British History. Oh, they're setting up for a film in the park thing. If you can hear banging. So they're going to do an outdoor cinema, which is cool. Right, everyone, if I can work out where on my screen I can turn this around. Can you see me again now? Okay, fabulous. So thank you everyone for joining me on location. Sorry I was a bit late coming in. I thought that might be the case. So I've been at Hampton Court Palace. I could walk backwards so you can still see it. I'm at Hampton Court Palace, and next week I'll also be on location. And then I'm taking August off. So you won't see me for a Thursday Tea Time Live during August. Also, if you get my newsletter, please, if you don't, sign up to get that. It's a weekly roundup of the links to new videos, to this video, and any news that I've got coming up about things, all history related. It wouldn't be interested in anything else I do. So yes, sign up for that. You can also follow the link in my bio to sign up for that. But none of those will happen in August. So Thursday Tea Time Live won't be happening in August, nor will the newsletter. But keep an eye out on social media, because I will be sporadic. I'm going to some really cool places, so I can't imagine that I will be able to resist sharing where I am, or what I'm doing and what I've seen with you all. I just won't be to a schedule in August. Should have been on tour in September, should have had 3 tours in September, but the ongoing sort of restrictions on travel and stuff has made that impossible. And so that's hence why I am taking August off while I have the opportunity, because bounce back for next year. Let me just turn this around one last time and then I will say goodbye. There you go, one last view of the gardens and of William and Mary's lovely palace. Right, everyone, I will see you all next week, or if Clubhouse, if you're joining me on Clubhouse, and I will be around on here posting as well. All right, everyone, have a great day and I will see you all soon. Bye.